Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a pain-free Friday for all stolen minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up. 100, 200, a bad seed, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad lie, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios in New York City. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake out of should do be all my friend and come around flash flood to party on rants on the west side, but bows up now. What a mess is time to tattoo and my brain splattered all over Manhattan should do be shake out. Ooh. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4 CBS is our toll-free line. Brought to you by Geico. You can save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Mark Raimondi of ESPN will join us to talk about the UFC. I think it's 241 in Anaheim, Cali. And so, Cali. Tomorrow night, big fight card. Mark McClune will join us at 1103 East, 803 West from Channel 5 in Phoenix. And we've got a lot of preseason action tonight that's been going on. The Bills are taking care of business on the road. 27-14 over the Panthers in Charlotte. Getting involved. Tell me about the kid, Carver High, the rugby kid running back, making big plays again.
Christian Wade?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he had another big run tonight. Obviously, he was a rugby star over in Europe. Look, he's not making the team or anything like that, but it's been fun the last 2 weeks when he gets in the game in the second half.
I think he should make the team.
He's not going to make the
team. He runs over people and he scores touchdowns. I don't care what anybody says. If you're the last guy picked, if you make plays, you got to have a shot.
Maybe there's a chance. Maybe there's a chance they could keep him around. Like a
there's not one feel-good story in Buffalo?
They don't have room to keep him. That running back is a very – they got a lot of running backs. They have Gore. They have Shady. They have the kid Singleton that they drafted. They
trade him to the Steelers. We'll take him. Running over people, scoring touchdowns. Giants 25-13 on the Bears. All that matters is Daniel Jones, 11 of 14, 161 yards and a touchdown. Has this guy not been, like, almost perfect in two games? Seriously, it's ridiculous what he's done.
Yeah, but Eli was good tonight, too.
Eli Manning getting involved. Eli was perfect, 4 of 4 for 42 yards and a touchdown pass. But the Jones performance was glowing. And really, that's all, you know, that matters. There's nothing else. Saquon didn't play, and that's that. Miami and Tampa 6-all in the fourth with 9 minutes to go in Tampa. We got a good one going on in the Gulf Coast tonight, Carver High, 6 apiece. I think in that game I actually I took the three. I think one of them was getting three, the Dolphins maybe. And I took the points to cover the spread. We'll see what happens there. Also, the injury list continues to pile up around the league as the Jets will lose starting linebacker Avery Williamson for the year with a torn ACL. And Chargers safety Derwin James is out indefinitely with a football injury. Speaking of football, Pats wide receiver Josh Gordon has been reinstated by the NFL. He's eligible to play in week one. Will Gordon finally stay on track and light it up for the Pats? Funny how we were talking about this the other day. We were just talking about this and saying because he played that rehab card and went right to rehab, said, I screwed up. I need to get help. And the fact that he's, and that so many people like him and support him and are behind him to beat this thing, addiction, that he got reinstated today. It's almost unbelievable because that guy has been through, I mean, he's been busted 15 times, and they just keep giving him a 9 lives. Meanwhile, other guys do way less and get thrown out of the league.
Yeah, and he's going to get another chance now.
I mean, look at this guy, Kaepernick. He protested police brutality, and he can no more get a job than fly a kite. And then this other guy's a repeat drug offender. He just keeps getting reinstated by the NFL. It really is unbelievable when you think about it, right? But what's even more dramatic of that ilk is that Tom Brady now will light it up with this guy every week. So what a just a nasty weapon he is for Brady. I mean, he is he not like, I mean, he's clearly one of the best in the NFL. Is he not, receivers? He is. That guy is one of the best. That's all there is to it. He's got great hands. He's fast as hell. I think he makes plays. Whenever he plays, he comes up big. Okay, and then, he's out a lot on drugs.
How about we put it a different way? He has the potential to be one of the best.
He's blown it with all the drugs.
He's not one of the best right now. He's not in the class of the guys that are at the top. If he gets himself right and he's ready, focused and he's healthy and he's feeling good and he wants to play,
he has the potential.
He can get to that level.
Is he, what is his drug?
Especially with Tom Brady.
What is his drug? He just smokes lots of weed or something?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure.
I mean, give the kid a break. Can we let him have some funky Swiss cold Medina? Shake out. Ooh. I told you about that UFC card tomorrow. Daniel Cormier may step into the octagon for the final time against Stipe Miocic, and then Nate Diaz returns after a 3-year hiatus to fight Anthony Pettis. Will Cormier go out on top? And is Romero fighting? Is that who's fighting? Who's fighting? I think he is. Mafia doesn't care. It doesn't matter at this point. If he doesn't know, no one knows. Yankees manager Aaron Boone suggested today that baseball should consider having a mercy rule for situations like last night when he needed to use a position player to pitch the final two innings in a 19-5 loss to the Indians. How high does this rank on the scale of worst ideas you've ever heard of in baseball? A mercy rule.
Right just at the top.
End the game? For all that money I pay for tickets, you want to call it a game after five?
It's one of the most ridiculous things I think I've ever heard. And we've heard a lot of dumb stuff regarding changing around the rules of Major League Baseball the last couple of years, making the game faster, et cetera, et cetera. This one is probably the dumbest.
Romero's fighting Paulo Costa. And they
Derek
have other.
Brunson's also on the card.
Who is?
Derek Brunson.
Very, very famous person, whoever that is. Anyway, Mafia, who do you like in this? Like, as your favorite fight of the night, is it the Cormier fight or is it the Diaz fight?
I think it's the Cormier-Miocic fight because we know what Diaz can be, but we don't know what he will be because we haven't seen him in almost 3 years. And that could be an awesome fight. It could be a brawl. It could be a battle between those two guys. Or it could be, a snooze fest because Pettis just outweights him and counterstrikes him. But the Cormier-Miocic fight, I want to see how Stipe reacts to that last loss. I want to see how he counters his game plan to what he had in the last one because he fought him completely wrong the first time. Let's see if he learned and does the right thing this time.
So they're already ripping Kyler Murray in Arizona for what is false starts and clapping at the line? How about how bad he's looked? How's that sound?
Yeah, it seems like they're more concerned about the fact that he's doing something. He hasn't quite gotten down the clapping to snap the ball yet. He got flagged for that last night. But I think, like you said, the thing you really should be focused on is he's not moving the football. How about that?
Yeah, he's not doing well. He's not doing anything well. Jay Gruden unhappy the pass interference replays. That's going to go on all year long. And the delays
in
games.
He honestly had a good gripe last night. That was ridiculous, the play that I saw.
You're going to have so much time in the middle of NFL games now to go get a beer because there's just going to be so many delays, so many stoppages, and ridiculous reviews. Ben Roethlisberger says the Steelers have a special group heading into the season. Sure is different than last year, huh? Jay-Z gonna get a piece of an NFL team ownership-wise. You kind of felt like that was coming, didn't you, after he cut a deal with Roger Goodell?
Well, everyone asked why he would do that, why we'd partner up when he, you know, was supporting Kaepernick. Now you know why.
Yeah, Megatron is in the marijuana business. Can you believe that? Your boy from the Lions, his career ended poorly there. We got a lot to do tonight. First up, Mark Raimondi from ESPN talking about the UFC card in Anaheim on a bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
You know, I'm watching some of these old fights of Showtime Pettis's, and he's a badass. I'm telling you, that's going to be just absolute violence of the highest order, that fight. I mean, I don't know. The main event's great and everything, and we'll talk about that here with Mark Raimondi of ESPN. But I got to tell you, this guy, Pettis, I don't think he gets any love. I mean, he was a former champ, and he's got all these kicks that he does. He jumps off the fence and kicks people in the head. He's got a roundhouse he nails people with. I remember when he fought Wonderboy Thompson. I mean, this guy is just absolutely no joke. I just think they're going to go at it hard and heavy. Mark Raimondi, ESPN, joins us on the bench. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Scott. How are you?
I'm cool, brother. What do you think of that guy, Pettis? I don't think he gets – it's always about somebody else. It's never about him. He gets absolutely no juice.
Yeah, you're on the money, man. Just listening to what you were saying at the top. He is he's really one of the most exciting, flashy, entertaining fighters in all of the UFC, and he has been for some time. And he's the last couple of years, it's kind of been hit or miss for him, and he hasn't really put together any kind of sustained run. He had there was a time 2 years ago that he went down to 145 pounds, which was really a huge mistake in his career. It was so bad that now he has trouble even making 155 pounds. So he's been fighting the last few fights at 170. And to your point, he knocked out Wonderboy Thompson, who is a phenomenal striker, in his last fight, and that was his debut at 170 pounds in the UFC. So this is a guy that has a lot of upside still. He's not an old guy. He's still in his early 30s, and he's just as talented and as athletic and flashy as he's always been.
Do you think that the fact that Diaz, and I love watching this guy fight too. He's one of my favorites. Most people, that I talk to like him. They like his, rough style and just walks in there and just goes to war. And he's involved in all these bloodbaths. He is an absolutely violent human being in that octagon. But I have a hard time with his 3-year layoff. Like, what does he do? I mean, I don't understand. It seems to me like, Mark, that he spends two years and about 8 months complaining about – he just complains about everything, and then he finally decides to fight. He's wasting his life. His career's flying by every year he doesn't fight, if you ask me.
You forget that there's a lot of that time that is also spent smoking weed, Scott.
Of course. I know he smokes tons of weed. Which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you. I think after he fought McGregor twice in 2016, it was the height of his career, and he had a chance to go on and make a ton of money in other fights, and for whatever reason he chose not to, and he chose to kind of sit on the sidelines and wait for the perfect opportunity. And I think for a long time, Scott, he was waiting for that McGregor Shoji fight, because that was going to be the one that was going to pop a big number for him. That was going to make him the most possible money.
Right.
But as we know, then McGregor went off, and he spent all of 2017 talking crap with Floyd Mayweather, and he fought Floyd Mayweather, and it was kind of lost time for Diaz. And then when he did want to come back, he wanted to come back last year, last summer. There was really nothing that made sense for him, because he's in a weird spot where it's like, you can't just have Nate Diaz fight any old guy, right? You can't just have him fight any old contender, number 15. That has to be a prominent name, and this works out. This works out. It's been a long time coming, but Anthony Pettis is a name. He's an exciting fighter. It's certainly a co-main event worthy type of fight. So this is where it works out. But yeah, I mean, I think everyone in the sport wishes he had come back way sooner.
So Mark Raimondi with us, ESPN on the bench. Donald Cerrone, Cowboy, he's so active. We always joke here on the show that he fights like every 3 weeks. But he literally will fight. He'll fight a mule. He'll fight a mule in a rainstorm. But why is it that guy can fight every 2-3 months and this Diaz guy just refuses to fight? It makes no sense to me. He could be just like him and just be racking up bags of cash. He always talks about all he wants is the money. So why wouldn't he just fight all the time?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, that not a lot of guys are made like Donald Cerrone. I think twice in the last 3 years, I asked Donald Cerrone, "Hey, did you know who that guy was that you signed up to fight before you signed for the fight?" And he said, "No, I had no idea who that guy was." He didn't care. You know, he didn't care. One of those guys, unfortunately, was Darren Till, and Darren Till, knocked him out. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, I just think that they're kind of playing two different types of games. Whereas Nate Diaz is looking for that perfect, you know, one big money fight per year or so, and Donald Cerrone is looking to just try to compile as much money and bonuses as he possibly can. And there are pros and cons to both, because Donald Cerrone is also taking a lot of damage. He's taking a lot of damage in training for all these fights and also in the fights, whereas Nate Diaz probably hasn't sparred a whole lot in the last 3 years either. So he's not taking any, you know, he's not getting concussions. He's not getting CTE over the last 3 years either. So there are two ways of looking at it.
So what do you think, Mark, with DC and Stipe? I've interviewed both of them. I like both of them. I think they're both really good fighters. I mean, I thought Stipe, you know, defended at least three times, and there's not been a lot of guys have three title defenses and win them. So I think he's kind of earned this. A lot of people said he waited too long to fight him again. It's been basically a little over a year since he fought him and lost and got knocked out. What's different this time around?
Well, the one big difference today that kind of manifested itself is that both guys are way lighter than they were last year. Stipe Miocic was only 230 pounds on the scale today, and that was the lowest he's ever weighed for a UFC fight. The previous low was back in 2011 when he fought at 236 pounds. It was his UFC debut. So it's pretty clear. And also, to that same point, Dan Cormier was 10 pounds lighter today. He was 236 pounds compared to last year when he was 246 for the first fight against Miocic. So both guys, I think it's pretty obvious that they're trying to have the edge in speed. And I think that's after being in that fight the first time, I think that both of them probably felt like speed and cardio was kind of at a premium, which is why they came in super lean today. Like that was very surprising.
Do you think Mark Raimondi with ESPN? Do you think that if DC wins, that he'll get his wish and the trilogy with John Jones? Because Bones has said he wants no part of it. Do you think he's lying? Because that would be the ultimate right now. I mean, that would be the cheddar. I mean, that would be the cheddar fight. Like, everyone wants to see it again, except, you know, in my eyes, unless I'm tripping, I thought Jones kicked his ass both times.
It's such a weird situation because you're right. I mean, Jones beat him definitively twice. The second time, of course, was overturned because Jones tested positive for a steroid. So that's not an official win for Jones, but I mean, I was there. It was in Honda Center. I'm a few feet away from Honda Center right now. The fight's going to be there on Saturday. So I saw John Jones knock Dan Cormier out. I know it doesn't count on the record anymore, and you can say what you want to say about PEDs and whatnot. But yeah, I do feel like that fight at 205 has happened twice already. We kind of know the story there at 205. Personally, I'd want to see them fight at heavyweight. And I know Dana White has said the exact same thing. You know, why don't these guys fight at heavyweight? We kind of know the story at light heavyweight. We know Cormier cuts a lot of weight. Why not see what happens at heavyweight? And John Jones does not want to do that. And honestly, neither does Daniel Cormier. Cormier, if he's going to beat John Jones, he wants to do it on Jones' terms at 205. So we'll see. We'll see if that happens. I know that all the parties involved probably want that to happen. It's just a matter of what goes down on Saturday night at UFC 241 with Cormier and Miocic.
How funny is it, in your opinion, and I mean this respectfully and in a positive way, not in a negative way, is this sport for ESPN? Because, you know, back in the day, I think they, like, let's go back to the beginning, and they were clearly in the, in the group that said it was, you know, human cockfighting, and it was unacceptable, and it wasn't a sport. And then fast forward to today, and it's apparently worth billions to both the ESPN people, Disney, and of course, Zuffa and the UFC. How crazy is it that they've gone over that window from it being wide open where they would say no way to where they are today, where it's like the biggest thing they have now?
Well, I think just the genesis of the sport and the way that it's evolved over the last, you know, 20 plus years. I mean, this is a sport that didn't exist before like 1993, which is just like unheard of that a sport in our lifetimes. I mean, I remember 1993. I was there. And now this sport has kind of grown out of nothing, and it's this, like you said, multi-billion dollar enterprise, and it's global, and it's you know, it's so popular in so many pockets of the world, and that's just one of those things, I guess. You know, ESPN recognized that it took other outlets a little bit quicker to know what MMA was and to monetize it and realize the potential it had, and ESPN has obviously found that. And man, you know, working here, it is very obvious they are all in on the sport. It's not even just the UFC, PFL, you know, Professional Fighters League is on ESPN Plus. There's Dana White's Contender Series, on Tuesdays during the summer. It is a full scale. I mean, honestly, between me and you, Scott, and you know, the people listening, I wouldn't have this job if ESPN wasn't all in on MMA. So it's pretty crazy.
That's awesome. I'm happy for you. Real quick, 30 seconds, respectfully. Who do you think Conor McGregor will ever fight, or will he ever fight again? Or are we just going to see him beat up old men in bars?
Yeah, I was going to say maybe the big rematch between him and the white-haired guy from the Dublin pub, right?
I got the white guy with high odds. I'm going to take the underdog with huge, like 40-1 odds.
I mean, if Conor in 2019 can't put that guy on his butt with the left hand, we're in big trouble here for his fighting future.
So do you think he'll ever fight again or anything?
I think he will. It's just a matter of coming to a deal with the UFC, and honestly, a matter of him staying out of trouble. That's really what it comes down to.
I hope he stays in trouble. It's more fun that way. It's more entertaining for all of us. Listen, Mark, great stuff tonight on the bench. Enjoy the fights tomorrow night in Anaheim.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.
All right, Mark Raimondi of ESPN.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, here's the deal. I have, you know, the best college football and pro football plays. Any, you know, where in the world that you look, you're going to see all these people. They're all wonderful. Everybody's a genius. Everybody's a, you know, what they are is they're thieves. So what's going to happen is they're going to give me thousands of dollars for my crappy picks. And then what I have is winners, and they're as cheap as going to BJ's. I got to tell you, Mafia, I went there today with my free shopping spree coupon, and I loaded up on free groceries at that place. I went crazy today at that place. I love that place.
Great joint for sure.
I loaded up. I had the Willy Wonka golden ticket, free shopping. You cannot beat that. You know what that's like? It's like getting my picks on PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today, buck a day. You get every play of the day in every sport, ranked, favorite to least. You're going to love it. It's an email that comes to you every day of the week, and you're going to make fat stacks. Trust me, listen to the show. Everybody calls in. They say the same thing. Pharrell, your picks kick ass and take names. So there you go. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. All right. Anyway, so I got that when I got that truck for 34C. They gave me the, shopping spree. They gave me the coupon to go shopping. And I was like, all right, there you go, thanks. And then I did it today. I loaded up. I got so much stuff. That's over by your crib, Mafia. That's where you go once in a while, you told me. So I went there today.
My girlfriend has the membership to there. I got the membership to the other place. So we keep them both and just... depending on what we need, we go to certain stores, and it's awesome.
Do you go to another grocery store besides those two, or do you just go to those two for everything?
No, but she likes the regular grocery store, too. It's the one that she grew up in that's actually...
right around the corner?
It's like 10 minutes away from us, but apparently it's really good. It's like two towns
now,
over.
Now, what's the one, it's like a block away where I buy crack. Where's that? That one's right there around the corner. It's like about a couple blocks away.
It's actually closing.
The crack place is closing?
Right around the corner is closing, yeah.
Rag!
Because it's the same one that used to be up a couple towns over from you, remember, that closed.
Oh, yeah, I thought you meant the crack house I go to. You mean the grocery store is closing?
Yeah, the grocery store.
Oh, thank God. The crack house is staying open?
Probably. I think that's just moving three blocks over.
Thank you.
Over the other side of the river.
That's awesome. Coming up later, Mark McClune of Channel 5 in Phoenix. Carver, I assume we're going to be talking bad about Kyler Murray in that interview.
Sure, we might as well.
Might as well.
And find out how he needs to learn how to clap to get the football.
There you go. I was going to say something very dirty right there, and I stopped myself. I have really aged like beef here at the Vatican Network, because I was going to say something completely filthy right there in this very moment, and I chose not to, which is a really sad state of affairs in the beginning of the end of my career, that I femmed out that much because I was so much better when I was filthy. At least I think. Carver Hyde told me that once when we were on a flight to Vegas. He says, you know, you were a lot better when you were dirty. He goes, I don't think you're that funny anymore. It's more of a, like, when you were dirty, you were really funny. Now you're just kind of, you know, old.
Things change.
Things change. Atmospheres change. People change. Weather changes. We have great weather here. Year-round, it's terrible. It's always consistent. I know you're watching your favorite sporting event, Carver Hyde. The Little League World Series has resumed in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, where I drove by twice on the way to my dad's stroke and then concurring death.
I will not watch one second of that.
I went right by Williamsport. Remember I told you I even drove by Allentown. I'm here in Allentown. Do-do-do. Anyway,
gotta have it.
I'm very upset with NASCAR's decision to remove Slayer as a sponsor of the 54 car driven by JJ Yaley in the Bristol Saturday night NRA night race, the Bass Pro Shops Energy Cup race that no one watches, that absolutely no one on the face of the earth watches.
Nobody.
They're apparently the NASCAR people have pulled the plug on that plan.
Yeah, they actually, the car looked awesome. It had Slayer logos all over it because they're promoting their final tour, their farewell tour.
Wrapping up their career.
Yes, and they had a bunch of really cool Slayer logos all over the car with some barbed wire and stuff. It was really awesome.
Yeah, I saw the band did say that after nearly 40 years, the Slayer apparently remains as terrifying to some as ever.
That's it.
So what happened was the owner, Rick Ware Racing, had to put pods moving in storage on the car for the race now. I've had those in my driveway before, the moving and storage pods. But I have, you know, the info here says that they yanked the sponsorship because apparently a bunch of other sponsors got very concerned about having them on one of the cars. It said that longtime participating sponsors were not in favor of this. So Slayer has been pulled.
Which ones? Like, you know, the NRA that's sponsoring that race? Yeah, because right now Slayer's a lot scarier than the NRA, let me tell you.
Yeah. Is that what it is? Is the NRA gun race?
The two sponsors are Bass Pro Shops and the NRA.
I don't have a problem with Bass Pro Shops. And dare you say anything about the NRA, someone will kill you. Don't they? Is that what they do?
No, but Slayer's the one we're scared of.
But we're supposed to be afraid of Slayer. But isn't it the NRA people? If you say anything bad about them, don't they, like, send someone to kill you? I mean, don't they? Isn't that what they solve everything with, guns? Is that about right? I'm just glad they're having an automobile race, all the gun owners. It's awesome. How pathetic is that? Like, how bad is NASCAR now, honestly, that they can't even handle that? Like, here's a newsflash for you, NASCAR, France and company, the people that run that thing. Here's the interest in your sport right about now. You know that colonoscopy I'm having on Monday morning? The drink that you have the night before the surgery is named after NASCAR.
Your sport is dying. You should take any sponsorship money you can. Doesn't matter who it gives it to.
Listen, it wouldn't even matter if Slayer were on every car in the race.
We should do a race where it's like all different heavy metal and, you know, goth metal and all this. You put like Gwar on a car, Metallica, Slayer, Anthrax. Do a whole series of it.
Listen, honestly, I have a list here. I'm looking at, like, I know it's not for any reason whatsoever, but I'm looking at the list of sports like on ESPN right now, and they literally have NASCAR below the CFL and cricket. I mean, honestly, they literally, and I mean, F1 is like a mile ahead of them. And does anyone in this country care about Formula One racing? Anyone alive? The WNBA is like 100 spots in front of him. Rugby is more popular than NASCAR. Rugby. Listen to this. Girls softball is beating NASCAR. Esports absolutely has relations with NASCAR. I mean, they literally just do them, okay? And then analytics are more popular than NASCAR. The only thing NASCAR is more popular than, and it says here, right here, is the X Games, which is now X Games 5 billion. They've had so many X Games, you want to kill yourself. No one cares about that anymore because they've had so many of them. It's diluted, you know, completely, saturated. How many of those do they have? Winter, summer? I mean, oh, my God, the X Games. How about these guys? He's won 79 gold medals in X Games. I mean, every guy there has won 50 of them.
Look, we've said this a billion times. We know what their problem is, NASCAR. They have no stars. Nobody knows who these guys are. Right?
Not only do they have no stars, it's boring.
Right, but
it's so boring. You want to gouge your eyes out.
They had a little bit of the market when they had some guys, and even Danica Patrick, you know, they had some known people driving these cars. You can't pick these guys out of a lineup that are driving these NASCAR cars.
I didn't like it
when the average sports fan cannot pick 38 out of the 40 NASCAR drivers out of a lineup.
Oh, my
God. Maybe not even all 40.
40? They couldn't name four. They couldn't name four. Let me tell you something. I like going to NASCAR races. I've been to 100.
I'm sure it's a great time.
But I don't like watching it. And that's just me. No offense to anyone. I know how sensitive you all are. But it just does nothing for me. I don't know what it is. It is bad. I mean, honestly, even when they had all the stars racing, because I like Smoke, I like Dale Jr., all those guys, Jeff Gordon, all the rest of them. They had so many, right? Jimmie Johnson. How about that guy? What's he won? 7 or 8 titles and no one cares. I mean, no one cares at all. Like that guy, he could walk right down the street and no one would know him. Do you believe that? That he could walk right down the street and you wouldn't know him? If you were at Disney World and he walked by, you wouldn't know who it is.
No.
I mean, seriously. Baker Mayfield and Jimmie Johnson were walking together down the street in Disneyland. Who do you think they would notice? Baker Mayfield.
99 out of 100.
They'd ask the other guy to take the picture. Hey, can you hold this camera? Can you take a picture of us, sir? Thanks so much. Oh, wait, that's Jimmie Johnson? Who's that? I'm serious.
And he's it for them right now. Who else besides? And he is their most known name.
He's still driving.
I know, but other than him, I'm saying he's the only one that if you said his name, the average sports fan would at least go, oh, that guy's a NASCAR driver.
Yeah.
The other 39 or 40 guys that are driving right now?
You think they know the Bush brothers?
Maybe. That's probably the closest. Is there anybody else I'm missing there that, I mean, is...
Joey Logano?
No way. No shot.
Keselowski?
No way. I'm talking the average sports fan.
No way.
Only what
they don't know anything.
Maybe we'll tune into the Daytona 500.
Who carries the races anymore?
Everybody. That's another problem. They're on everywhere. Like each week to week, you don't know if they're on Fox, NBC.
I haven't watched a NASCAR race in 10 years. I mean to tell you, I haven't literally watched anything that they do in so long. It's not even funny. I'm just being honest. No offense to it, because I've been to a million races. I think they're great. But I've long since given up on that sport. Hate me all you want.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.